For the director of music, with stringed instruments, a psalm, a song. May God be gracious to us, and bless us, and make his face shine upon us. Selah. That your ways may be known on earth, your salvation among all nations. May the peoples praise you, O God, may all the peoples praise you. May the nations be glad and sing for joy. For you rule the peoples justly, and guide the nations of the earth. Selah. May the peoples praise you, O God, may all the peoples praise you. Then the land will yield its harvest, and God, our God, will bless us. God will bless us, and all the ends of the earth will fear him.
So as you may have caught on, that Art and Rachel are in Ethiopia for the next few weeks. And so that's an opportunity for us as they just are exposed to God's work in other places. And in the interim, we have a few of our own folks that are going to come and speak as well. So that's a good opportunity for us as well. And today, Keith Harder is coming. So welcome, Keith.
Good morning. That works. I feel like a bit like an airplane pilot with this song this morning. My biggest fear this morning was that this would go on when we were singing. And that would probably not work out so well. It's great to be here this morning. And I want to share with you some things that are on my heart from one of my favorite passages. Let's begin this morning with a word of prayer. Lord, I just thank you that we can gather together here this morning to worship you, to reflect on your word and what it means for us. And Lord, help us to take the lessons from your word and be able to apply it to our everyday lives. Lord, I pray that the words that I say and the things that we talk about would be honoring to you and that would glorify your name. This I pray in your name. I'd like to begin telling you a little bit about who I am. I grew up on a farm in Carstairs, Alberta, and farmed with my dad for a few years before going on to Bible college. In Columbia Bible College in Abbotsford, B.C. That's where I met my wife, Kathy. And we've been married for 23 fantastic years. So, and our two boys are here, of course, Josh and Nick. I have to embarrass them when I have the chance. So they're here today as well. And we've been in Claire's home for 3 years. And we've moved around a little bit after Bible college. We were married, and I went on to Trinity Western University and got my phys ed degree. After completing my phys ed degree, we moved to Three Hills, Alberta, where I became the athletic director at Prairie Bible College. Many of you are probably familiar with Prairie Bible College. We were at Prairie Bible College for 8 years. During that time, I was the athletic director, and I coached men's basketball, and I taught physical education to all the college students, some of which enjoyed that, some of which didn't. But after being at Prairie for 8 years, we moved on. We moved to Calgary. I was the assistant men's basketball coach at University of Calgary for a year. However, due to some financial constraints, you don't make enough money coaching in Canada, and so I needed to kind of choose a new career. And I kind of fell into sales. And so for the past 10 years, I've been involved in sales, primarily automotive sales, and that's what I've been doing for the past 10 years. And with that, we've moved around a little bit. We were in Calgary for just over a year. That's where Nicholas was born. Josh was born in Three Hills. From there, we moved to Strathmore. We lived in Strathmore for about 2 years. Not quite. Kathy's looking at me. And from Strathmore, we moved to Vulcan, and we lived in Vulcan for just about 6 years. And now we've been in Claire's home for about 3 years. Throughout these different moves and these different travels, it's been interesting because we've got to meet a lot of people and been blessed by the different fellowships that we've been in, and it's helped us grow. And that's been the exciting part of that, is because we've been able to adapt to different communities and learn about new people and so on. And it's all been a great growth experience for us, and that's been exciting. So that's just a little bit about our history. I grew up in a Mennonite church, Birkfell Mennonite Church in Didsbury, Alberta. That's where I was baptized when I was 18. I had an opportunity there, even while I was still very young, to be involved in ministry there with both youth and then the church. I was during my time at Bible College. I was helping our pastor for a point, just kind of working alongside him there. Some circumstances occurred. He had to leave the church, and they were left without a pastor, so I was left with a church at 21 years old, being in charge for about 6 months. So it was interesting times, growth times, and very challenging times, but it also really helped me form some ideas and make me who I am as well. So that's a little bit about me. I'd like to for you to turn in your Bibles this morning to Philippians. Philippians chapter 2. If you have any encouragement from being united with Christ, if you have any comfort from His love, if any fellowship with the Spirit, if any tenderness and compassion, then make my joy complete. By being like-minded, having the same love, being one in spirit and purpose, do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit. But in humility, consider your others better than yourselves. Each of you should look not only to your own interests, but also to the interests of others. In your attitude should be that of Christ Jesus, who being in very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be grasped, but made himself nothing, taking on the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness, and being found in appearance as a man. He humbled himself and became obedient to death, even death on the cross. Therefore God exalted him to the highest place and gave him the name that is above all names, that the name of Jesus every knee should bow, and heaven on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Therefore, my dear friends, as you have always obeyed, not only in my presence, but now much more in my absence, continue to work out your salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God who works in you to will and to act according to His good purpose. Do everything without complaining or arguing, so that you may become blameless and pure children of God without fear, fault, in a crooked and deprived generation, in which you shine like stars in the universe, as you hold out the word of life, in order that I may boast on the day of Christ that I did not run or labor for nothing, but even if I am being poured out like a drink offering on the sacrifice and service coming from your faith, I am glad and rejoice with all of you, so you too should be glad and rejoice with me. I want to be a little interactive with you this morning. I got your attention now. Chocolate tends to bring everybody's attention up to a more form. But I want you to participate a little bit. And I want you to think for a second, what does it mean when someone asks you, what are your ABCs? What do ABCs mean to you? When someone says, what are your ABCs? What is that? Basics. You get a chocolate. Oops, oh, sorry. What else? The basics? What else could it be? What else are the ABCs? What do they mean? Yeah? It's a song? You want to sing a little bit of that? They get two chocolates if you sing. Anything else? ABCs mean to you? Foundation. Yeah, foundation. If you don't know your ABCs, pretty going to be pretty hard to start to learn to read. Right? It's going to be the foundation for everything that we begin to learn. If we don't know our ABCs, it's going to be pretty hard to learn anything else because we can't read, right? So it is kind of the foundation. I also think of ABCs. I've taken quite a few first aid courses. When you think of first aid, what do you think of with ABCs? What are the principles? Airway, breathing, circulation. Pretty good. So the first thing that you do when you come across an unconscious patient is you have to see if there's an airway. The airway's open. Check if they're breathing. And check if there's a heartbeat, if there's circulation, and make sure they're not bleeding. So that's the foundation of life. Your ABCs. Airway, breathing, circulation. You know those things. So that's the basics of life. Understand that. I think the basic knowledge to be able to read, like I talked about. Many faced aid courses, it's all about that. Without knowing our ABCs, we can't learn. Without having an airway, without being able to breathe, without having circulation, we can't live. Our identity as Christians also has an ABC type of basics which need to be evident in our lives if we are to have an influence for Christ on the world around us. The context of Philippians is interesting because it parallels much of our community today. Philippi was a dynamic city made up of many different cultures. It was a city that was situated on a pass between Europe and Asia, and so there was a major trading route there. There's a lot of commerce going out there and a lot of different cultures. It was also part of the Roman Empire, and so you had a lot of intermixing of different people there. Just like today in Canada, our own community, culture, diversity, is the norm, in Philippi, no exceptions. Along with different cultures, there was also an economic diversity. In Acts chapter 16, Paul talks about his time and his interaction in Philippi, and there's three particular individuals that he talks to in Acts chapter 16. Does anybody remember those three different people that he really has an influence on? Everybody's scrambling for Acts 16. Timothy? No. Fine. Yes, the Philippian jailer. And his whole family converted to Christ. That was the one person he talked to. The Philippian jailer would be considered like a civil servant today in our culture. A civil servant, he works for the government, he was part of the a Roman soldier at one time and then became a Philippian jailer at times. So it'd be a civil servant, a middle-class citizen, an economic level. What was the other person in Acts 16? Do we remember him? Or her? Lydia, there we go. Lydia. And she was a seller, a merchant of purple. And purple was considered a very valuable commodity. And so she would have been considered an upper-class type of person, a high economic standard for Lydia. And then one other person who Paul interacted with and really changed her life was the slave girl, okay, in Acts 16. And she would, of course, slave girl, we would associate with maybe a lower economic standard. And so Paul is interacting with these people in Philippi, number one, many different cultures, and number two, from many different economic standings. And I think that is kind of like our culture today that we interact with as Christians. It's a melting pot. When I look at the people that I interact with at work in Calgary, it's all different cultures. The regular, what we call a white Anglo-Saxon type of person is not the norm, but the opposite of that. And so we interact with many different cultures and many different economic levels as well. And that's important for us to recognize. Paul had a great impact on these people. And that's why he's writing this letter to Philippians. He led the jailer and his family to Christ. He saved the slave girl. And he led Lydia and all her family to Christ, and they followed him. And that was kind of what made up that Philippian church. The type of impact and influence for furthering the gospel of Jesus Christ provides us an example as believers. Philippians chapter 2 provides the ABCs which provide for the type of impact for Christ which Paul had on the Philippians. The overall emphasis or theme of Philippians chapter 2 is the focus on unity of believers and the need for humility amongst believers. Unity and humility, that kind of wrap that whole chapter. This unity and humility is the foundation of our ABCs. I think unity and humility are the foundation of that. And of our ABCs, the first, the A, I believe, is attitude. A is attitude. Throughout these verses, there's an emphasis on attitude. Words like love, compassion, like-minded, or having an attitude the same as Christ Jesus are emphasized. I think our attitudes as Christians is one of the most important aspects of our lives, where we allow our faith in Jesus Christ to shine through. Our attitudes shape all our interactions we have and with other people. I have found the value of a smile goes a long ways. The value of a smile. It's hard. Turn to the person next to you and smile. Just try it. Turn to the next person and smile. Did they smile back? They smiled back. All right? It's so important. If you want someone to smile back at you, you better smile at them. The value of a smile. My coworkers sometimes comment that I'm always smiling because it's so important to what I do. The more I smile, the more cars we sell. The more cars we sell, the more I smile. It just kind of, it has a reciprocal effect. But it just creates a whole different attitude in your workplace and the people you interact with, a smile. And I think we as Christians, we need to show that. our smiles need to be evident wherever we are, whether at work or play or wherever. That has to be shining through for us. I learned a long time ago in coaching that being positive and reinforcing what is right, rather than being negative and focusing on the mistakes, got far better results. It's very easy in coaching, when you're coaching whatever sport it may be, mine was basketball, to point out the mistakes. They're clear and they're obvious. But I finally got far better results when I focused much more on encouraging the good things than focusing on the bad things. And people got much better. And I think that's very important for us as Christians too, to not always focus on the negative. I often wonder how effective we are as Christians when we tend at times to focus on everything that is bad and negative and sinful in the world rather than trying to emphasize and focus on the positive. And I think that's very important. It's easy to see the negative, but I think we need to accentuate the positive and shine through that. The great thing about our attitude is that it's a choice. I think every day when we wake up in the morning, at least I do, I make a choice whether it's going to be a grumpy day or a happy day. I know when I'm grumpy and I have chosen to be grumpy. I can change that. I really believe that we want to have the kind of impact that Paul, if we want to have the kind of impact that Paul had on the Philippians with the people around us in our world, we need to start by changing our attitude. Smile more, encourage more, and just be more pleasant. I think the non-believers around us would see our different attitudes. B is for balance. Balance. What does balance mean? I'd like you all to stand up for a second. Just stand up for a second. Just for a moment. Now, if you feel uneasy or uncomfortable and you're afraid you might fall, you don't have to do this. But standing there, now I'd like you to stand on one foot. All right? Stand on one foot. And now stand on your tippy toes. Oh, okay. One foot, tippy toes. What happened to your balance? You can sit down now. I don't have a chocolate for you all. It's all about chocolate. All right? Now, if you would do that same position, and we talk a lot about in sports where we put our feet shoulder width apart, a staggered stance and bend our knees a little bit, that's quite a bit different than standing on one foot on our tippy toes. Now I have really good balance. All right? In verses 6 to 11, the incarnation of Christ is portrayed. Because Christ humbled himself and became like us, died on the cross for our sins, and then conquered death, we now are able to have a personal relationship with him. This personal relationship we have with Christ gives us balance. When we were standing on one foot, that is what life is like without Christ in a crisis. You think if you do not have your faith in Christ, and when crisis comes, that standing on one foot on your tippy toe, that crisis knocks you over. When we have Jesus Christ in our life, the balance we have is now firm. We're not going to be moved from side to side. And that's the key part of understanding that Christ came down in that incarnation that's described there in Philippians, became like us so that we could have that personal relationship with him, that relationship that's evident in all walks of our life to give us balance. Balance in all aspects of our life is important. Physical, mental, social, and spiritual balance is important if we have impact on the world around us. One of my tasks while I was teaching at Prairie, and I mentioned this sure, is what ensure physical balance in the student population. Everyone at Prairie Bible College when I was there had to take Introduction to Physical Fitness taught by Mr. Harder. Okay? That means the theology major, the music major, everyone had to come through my class. Not all were excited about that. It was fun, though, to change attitudes. To see the result when they learned to understand their physical bodies and then if they took care of themselves, how much more effective they were in all aspects of their life. And I think that's important for us to take care of ourselves. By the end of the course, everybody seemed to be a little more healthy, and they valued that physical interaction. And again, it made them more effective. And so having that balance in our life, spiritually, physically, mentally, emotionally, makes us more effective, you know, for the people around us. C. C is for commitment. C is for commitment. I think being committed or showing real commitment to moral standards and significant relationships is becoming a lost ability in our society today. Showing real commitment. Paul talks about being poured out like a drink offering in service to the faith. To have the kind of significance that Paul had on the Philippians, we need to demonstrate an unwavering commitment to those things that matter most. That unwavering commitment to our families, to our spouses. When I look at my sales staff at work, of the 12 salespeople that I now have, there's only one that's in a committed relationship that hasn't been divorced. Every one of them has been divorced or is in an uncommitted relationship of some sort. Okay? And that's not unlike most of society. And I think we as Christians can really set a standard or an example to whoever those around us. What's as fortunate is when I look at statistics that in North America, divorce rate's about 33%. In North America, amongst evangelical Christians, the divorce rate is 32%. Okay, so we have work to do. And I think that's when Paul talks about that umbrella of unity. We have work to do within our whole Christian environment, within our church itself, to uphold those relationships and those commitments with each other. That you can't just go it alone, but you need others to walk alongside and encourage and support you. And that's part of being that, having that commitment. We're not only committed to each other, but committed to a body of believers in support of each other. The truth of the matter is, our lives seem very busy. When it comes to a lack of commitment in church, I'm probably the most guilty of this. The truth of the matter is that we really make time for what is important to you. And this, now I'm speaking to myself about being committed to being at church every Sunday or being part of the group. The truth of the saying goes that the things that we spend our time on are the things that grow. And I think that's very important. Things we spend our time on are the things that grow. We spend our time on this, that will happen. We spend our time in church, with the Word, that will grow. And that's so true. Being committed means taking time for the things that matter in our lives. Family, God, and spending time with fellow believers. I see a relationship with Paul's concept of humility in Philippians and the concept of commitment. I see in myself a pride and a certain individualistic attitude which hinders commitment. I see that in myself, pride, and we probably see it in others as too, that pride in ourselves and independence doesn't allow us to be really form those commitments. I need to be reminded that humility is not weakness, and that being committed and open within the body of believers provides strength. Paul's message to the Philippians is the same for us today. In order for us to have significance and influence on the world around us, we need to know our ABCs. Our attitudes, the balance we have in our life, and our commitments. John Maxwell outlines 5 key points when describing the difference between success and significance, which I think helps summarize some of my thoughts this morning. With success, 1, my motives may be selfish. With significance, my motives cannot be selfish. Significance and selfish are incompatible. With Paul's influence on the Philippians, it was not selfishness, it was for their growth. Be focused on that. Influence. With success, my influence is limited. With significance, my influence is unlimited. Time. Success can last a lifetime. Significance can last several lifetimes. People who desire significance value time. They evaluate what they do with their time, and they invest their time wisely. Focus. Success asks, how can I add value to myself? Significant asks, how can I add value to others? Reward. If I pursue success, my joy is the result of my success. If I pursue significance, my joy is the result of others' success. When we as Christians live our lives with a focus on significance over success, our attitude, balance, and commitment will be evident. When you know and practice our ABCs, verse 15 of Philippians chapter 2 becomes a reality. So that you may become blameless and pure children of God without fault in a crooked and deprived generation in which we shine like stars in the universe. During this coming week, I'd like you to think about different ways that you can perhaps change your attitude in different situations, where you can focus, smile more, be nicer, those kind of things. As well as think about balance. Balance in your life, and that idea that when we're balanced, we can deal with all those other things around us and help others deal with their stress, their issues, their crises that they have. And about our commitments. To continually firm up our different commitments in our lives with our families, with the church body itself. And I think that's part of being able to have a significant influence on people around us. The difference between that concept of success and the concept of significance. Follow those agencies. And I think that Psalm 67, which we read earlier, I'd like to conclude by reading that again, kind of puts that all into perspective and summarizes it as well. May God be gracious to us and bless us, and make His face shine upon us, that your ways may know on earth your salvation among the nations. May the people praise you, O God. May the people praise you. May the nations be glad and sing for joy, for you rule the peoples justly and guide the nations of the earth. May the people praise you, O God. May all the people praise you. Then the land will yield its harvest, and God, our God, will bless us. God will bless us, and all the ends of the earth will fear you. I think those things happen when we know our ABCs.